Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Broken Earth Radio Show. Before we begin, I'm going to try and do a sound test. And I'm hearing myself, even though nothing's playing. And I can't get into the chat room. I think it's working okay. Testing. Okay, right. Let me begin. Pack it up, pack it in. Let me begin. Now that I think the sound's working okay, today's show is going to be, the Mercury retrograde. We've got some information and news from the past week or so, or recently. And also going to be talking about chemtrails and alien skulls. If you'd like to give us a call for anything, whether it's a reading or an update on a reading, or if you'd like to share an interesting story with us, whether it's paranormal or, you know, something usual, anything at all, please give us a call on Skype number 347-215-8421. That's 347-215-8421. So please sit back, open your minds, and enjoy the show. Looks like we might have a technical difficulty with the songs. I can't get into the chat room. But besides that, it's going all right. Talk to me, Dooney. Talk to me.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, the chat room's coming up for me.
Yes. Okay.
Sound a load. That's a good start.
Yeah, right. I don't understand. What is going on? Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you, yes.
Okay. And there's no one in the chat room right now to tell us whether or not they hear
us. There's a guest, but unfortunately the guests can't tell us if everything's...
Really? I can't see anybody in the chat room except for myself. And now everything is just slowed down. Okay. I mean, everything is just slowed down. Let's try... Wait a minute. Okay. What I'm going to do, I'm going to try the song again. See what happens.
Right.
And because it was playing okay during sound check earlier, but let's just try it again. Now it's not even giving me a song icon to play the song that I was trying to play. So
you refresh the page, or will it end the show?
I just refreshed it, and that's what all this I mean, I just refreshed it. So let me move on to a different song. Try that one. Just to see how we're doing. And bear with me just a moment. There's always something around here. Here we go. Let's try this.
Thank you.
Are you talking, because I can't hear you?
Sorry, I was on mute. Sorry.
Now, somebody says a problem with the sound. Is it
right.
just scratchy or is it scrambled?
And how do we sound? How do we sound talking?
If you can understand what we're saying, that would be a bonus. And if they don't reply, there's a good chance we're scrambled and they can't understand us. But let me just listen back once a moment on.
Okay, all right.
It sounds okay to me, the playback.
Mm-hmm.
It's not scrambled. I can understand what's going on. I mean, the quality is not amazing usually anyway.
Right.
I mean, because we are working on a budget, you know?
Apparently. Okay, it sounds better on voice. Okay,
it always
sounds
better
scratchy.
With my voice. Yeah.
Well, the music always sounds scratchy to us through our ears, but usually everybody says, oh, the music sounds great. But you know what? Yeah, now it's the other way around. But you know, we'll just kind of see how things flow. We'll see how things flow.
Well, I was starting to get a bit worried there because the past couple of weeks has been scrambled and we've had to cancel shows. We've actually done like nearly a whole show and then realized that you couldn't understand anything we were saying, which is really frustrating.
It's very frustrating.
But if you can hear us, I'm happy with that.
Right, right. Now, we do have some callers in the queue. We do see you. We want to open our show up, and then, you know, we'll take calls from the callers. We'll take, you know, whatever it is that anybody wants to talk about. You know, if you want to talk about topic or if you want to, you know, reading or whatever, you know, it's what we do. Today, one of the first things, it could be the volume when it's played on your side. No, it's not. It sounds bad.
It's not the volume.
It could be a bad song. It's not the volume. It's the site. What were you going to say?
I'm just kidding.
Oh.
Now you're going to talk about the Mercury retrograde, right?
Yeah. We got another one starting up soon, everybody. We have another Mercury retrograde starting up. And basically, Mercury's entered Cancer. On the 31st of May, which started to slow down our mercurial energy, which is basically how we reason and how we communicate. And I think that Mercury must naturally just spin itself into retrograde whenever we're about to have a show. Just kidding about
that. That's about right.
But, you know, this particular year, 2013, all the Mercury retrogrades are actually happening in water signs, which is, you know, which makes an even more emotional time, even more emotional. And as we near the end of this month, Mercury goes retrograde into Cancer. Basically, the retrograde... there's different periods of retrograde. There's different lessons and even stances to the retrograde process. And to just basically give you a rundown real briefly, there is the pre-shadow, which this particular retrograde begins on the 9th of June, which is basically Saturday. Okay. A lot of people ignore the pre-shadow. But it's very important because a lot of the difficulty that you're going to encounter later sets itself up right at that point. So, you know, and some people even start to, you know, pre-shadow earlier. I've had experiences where it seemed like it was a month in advance. And so it's like Mercury is constantly in retrograde or something. But the pre-shadow, like I said, begins on the 9th. The first station, it starts to really slow before it retrogrades, and then it becomes stationary. It's about to move backward. That's basically the time period that's around the 21st of this month. And then, you know, the right attitude. You got to have the right attitude during this time, which basically means pay attention to your intuition. Try not to shove things off. It's a very contradictory time frame because everybody's told at one point take things with a grain of salt, but then you're also being told to pay attention to stuff. So, but when it comes to your relationships with people and someone's being angry and frustrated, I mean, it's important to pay attention to what they're frustrated about, but take it with a grain of salt because this is something that they normally might be able to digest differently, but they just can't do it at that point. They're just feeling very, very wound up, very frustrated.
Lightning.
Exactly. And the actual retrograde of it begins on the 21st. I'm sorry, not the 21st, but the 26th, on the 26th. And then after that, it's the process of it, the whole process of the mess. And you're going to experience phones not working, computers not working, travel issues. Information is just crazy. You know, you pretty much know, since Mercury is the planet that governs how we think and how we speak, everything is moving backwards or just in an odd way. And a lot of people break up during that time period. Or you know what I mean. It's just, it's very, very frustrating. But try not to, just really, really, really try not to, fight about things that normally you would be able to just shrug off or write some things down. And then when things are a lot more clear, maybe handle those things later, okay? The time period where it starts to, you know, straighten itself out is around the 20th of July. And that's really where it's right. You know, Mercury has started to be proper. But a lot of times we feel the effects for, you know, about 10 or so days later. So basically, it'll be over, completely over, around the 3rd of August. So, I mean, Mercury goes into retrograde. It really seems to own us for quite a while. So basically, from the 9th of June until the 4th of August, you have this experience. The actual retrograde is between the 26th and the around the 20th. 26th of June till the 20th of July, okay? So anyway, if anybody has any issues, anything that they want to talk about during that time, you know, anything that they're freaking out about, we're here for that. We're here to help you process things. You know, that's what we're here for. That's what we're here for. I want to see if you have anything that you wanted to add about that, Bill?
No, that's all. I was just, you know, tuning in and preparing myself for that time. It can be a frustrating time. Like you said, I mean, I'm sure it's in a permanent retrograde when we're trying to do the show.
Well, you know.
Like even now, like my headset's busted. I can only hear what I want to hear. Right between the day, I've got to crank it up, and it hurts my ear because of the bass.
Right.
But if I still wouldn't be a problem. But then I could, like, put on some different headphones. Then I could try and put my headset over the top of it because it's got the mic on it. It's just a pain.
Well, you know, we'll just have to get you a new headset, and just we're just going to have to deal with it for right now. Get you a new headset for next week. Is there anything in the news that you wanted to talk about?
Well, yes, I believe. Now, you opened my eyes to this, and there doesn't seem to be much about it, but I believe Monsanto is going to be stopping their food in Europe, is it, apart from Spain? Is that right? What are you saying? Well, that's a small victory. Well, a small victory? Quite a big victory there, because we don't have any genetically modified foods. And they were trying to pass a bill where they didn't even have to label it, you know? I want to know what's in my food. Anyway, here we are. First news of the day. I can always pick out the best news articles for people here. Yeah, we are. Brazilian arrested. Sorry. Oh, dear. I should have, well, sorry, it's difficult to read out this. Maybe I should read something else.
Okay, just calm down. Just relax. Breathe.
Okay. Brazilian pastor arrested for convincing followers his penis contained holy milk.
Stop it! You're just making that up now.
Yeah, Brazilian pastor arrested for convincing followers his penis contained holy milk. A pastor managed to abuse victims. It's not funny after abusing, I just couldn't say it. I'm sorry. After convincing them that his penis contains holy milk. He has been arrested after deceiving the faithful using the name of Holy Spirit. By using these foolish lies, this criminal pastor claimed that the Holy Spirit was secrete from his penis in the form of sacred milk. The pastor said that his penis was blessed and the Lord had consecrated him with divine milk of the Holy Spirit, and of course, he had to release it in order to evangelize. He has convinced us that only God could come into our lives through our mouth, and that's why he would do what he did. Often after worship, Pastor Valdesi would take us to where the funds were kept at the back of the church and ask us to have oral sex with him until the Holy Spirit would come through ejaculation. I'm sorry, I should have warned people in case there was any kids listening, really, they'll be hearing about this, but you get the idea what's going on there.
Yeah, that is...
I shouldn't have laughed, but just the title of it is just ludicrous, you know. And of course there is victims in this, but I mean, they didn't have to do it, right?
Well, anyway. You know, well, I mean, let's think about this. Let's think about this. Okay. Now, first off, you have to think about someone who, I mean, you might be dealing with somebody who's a megalomaniac. You might be dealing with somebody who's an egomaniac. Somebody who really, really, really believes that since he is the person that's in charge of these people, maybe he really does believe that since, you know, he's doing something, that he is a holy vessel, therefore every part of him is as well. So, I mean, I can see where that is something that could take somebody who is, you know, a sociopath, who's, you know, if he has those characteristics, you know, just, yeah. Yeah, I can see that, why he would believe those things. So, I mean, it's funny because it is completely like you would wonder who in the world would actually, you know what I mean? Like who would actually fall for that unless, you know, he was...
They were into it.
Exactly, unless they really wanted to believe it was true. And they, you know what I mean?
Jesus.
So it's one of those things where you would think that in 2013 people would know enough, no matter where they are in the world, about certain things. And, you know, some of them really and truly may have wanted it to be real. And, you know, if you really believe in something, you believe that it, you know, whatever you're looking for could come through any outlet, literally outlet possible. So... You know, it's nuts, but, I mean, it's funny. It is funny. I thought you were kidding.
No. Do you think I'd make up a headline like that?
Yeah, probably. But, you know, it's still, I mean, for, you know, I just really hope no kids were bothered during
right,
that.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. But anyway,
still, I mean, you know.
I digress.
Wow. Okay. Disgusted drone pilots quits Air Force. The international community is outraged over the careless devastation and lack of accountability of the U.S. drones program. At least part of the uproar results from the institutionalized mystery surrounding these flying killing machines. However, one former member of the U.S. military knows the drone program all too well, and he's harshly critical of it. According to an NPR report, Brandon Bryant joined the military fresh out of college in 2006. So that he could pay back his student loans. The U.S. Air Force assigned Bryant to his Predator program, where he was a sensor operator. Rather than piloting traditional jets, however, Brian's captain drones. Yes, you read that right. Drones do have pilots. Well, I knew that, really, anyway. It's just somebody sitting there with a remote control doing it. While no one is actually inside a drone, the technology is not yet so advanced that it can carry out actions entirely by itself. As a result, Brian found himself taking the helms from a computer located in a trailer in Las Vegas. During his first mission, Brian witnessed American troops dying via the drone's camera. He was helpless to do anything from his remote location, in part due to the combatants' proximity to U.S. soldiers. Instead, he was instructed to fire a missile on a group of men away from the fighting. After the smoke clears, there's a crater there, and you can see body parts from people, explained Bryant. And as powerful as the drone's weaponry is, death is not always instantaneous for its targets. One guy's left leg had been taken off above the knee, and I watched him bleed out. Worse still, Brian suspected these deaths were unnecessary. Although the men were armed, their inactivity in the local fight led him to believe they had weapons to defend themselves while living in a war zone. These guys had no hostile intent, Brian said. In Montana, everyone has a gun. These guys could have been local people that had to protect themselves. I think we jumped the gun. He noted that the official report later labeled these men as enemy combatants. When Brian attempted to talk about what he experienced, he was met with silence. In general, he reported drone operations avoid discussing their work, even with each other. The second time Bryant manned a drone attack, he fired on a house with militants inside. And as the missile cruised towards his target, Bryant watched a child run to the next house. After the impact, Bryant saw no sign of the child. This time, instead of getting emotional about his part in the casualties, he went numb. The numbness persisted for his remaining years of service. Bryant detached himself from his work, adopting the perspective that in warfare, good guys can die, bad guys can die, and innocents can die. Finally recognizing his unhealthy attitude toward killing, Brian opted to quit the Air Force. I couldn't do it anymore, he said. I stopped myself, and I said, I was taught to respect life, even if in the realities of war we have to take it, it should be done with respect. Alas, the drone program has only grown since Brian's resignation. Obama's one-time counter-terrorism advisor, Michael Boyle, recently suggested that the administration may favor drone strikes over detention centers, given the controversy surrounding places like Guantanamo Bay. Of course, the U.S. government has got to be kidding itself, but it thinks critics' objections to torturing and holding potential terrorists, definitely without trial, are... Don't understand that word. The only reason drone usage is not turned into full-scale scandal at Guantanamo Bay is due to relative lack of information. As for Brian, he is now a member of a veterans group where he says he has finally experienced the camaraderie he hoped the military would offer but was unattainable in Las Vegas trailer. Like many veterans, Brian is currently undergoing treatment for PTSD. Also, like many veterans, Brian is still waiting to receive his benefits to cover his treatments. So there you go. From one of the drone pilots themselves, you can hear the fact that innocent people are getting killed. I mean, I saw it last week's show I mentioned. I started talking about that the week before. Anyway, the end of one of the other programs I mentioned about drone attacks. It's just inappropriate. Now, I know we've got some callers, so what I'll do is I'll find one more piece of news, take some callers, then we'll get into the subjects of the show. One of them is going to be a bit on chemtrails, another is about the Star Child skull, which I mentioned before. Okay, you cool with that? I presume that you said yes. Anyway, I shall...
I had myself on mute. You can hear me, but you can't. But yeah, okay. But they can't hear me, yeah. Yes.
Okay, I'll just read this out to you. when Markham was so many pop-ups on here. When Jared Markham was suspended from school and arrested for wearing an NRA Protect Your Rights T-shirt, it drew national attention. Afterwards, the liberal bullies at Logan County schools, who thought they could get away with picking on a 14-year-old kid, started to become a lot more reasonable. Wait a minute. That is just terribly scripted and worded there. Basically, you got kicked out, suspended for wearing this T-shirt, Protect Your Rights. How ironic is that? Anyway, a load of kids, about 100 students, turn up to school wearing the same T-shirt to, you know, in action of this suspension. So I won't read that. I don't know who's written that. It's just terrible. Okay.
Okay.
Right.
All right. So what we're going to do is I need to take a break. I have to take a break. And then when we come back, we're going to talk to the caller at 215. Now, I don't want to confuse anybody. We have a 214 and a 215. We're going to talk to our caller from 215 and when we get back, but I do need to take a break.
John Davis, final days.
We'll be right back.
Oh, great. That was Frank Garson on piano.
Oh, thank you very much.
Oh, I love that song. You touch me and I hear the sound of mandolins. You kiss me and with your kiss, my life begins. You're spring to me, all things to me. Don't you know your life itself? Ah, those are the best lyrics. What now, Rude?
What do mandarins sound like?
Mandolin.
Oh, right, sorry.
Well, Mandarin sound like, it's a Chinese language.
I was thinking about fruits.
The fruit, the Mandarin oranges.
Yeah, the sound of mandarins.
Well, you have just managed to just take my romantic gesture and just crush it.
Now, whenever you listen to that song, you're going to be thinking about shoving fruit in your ear.
Whatever. Let's take a caller.
Okay.
Okay. I hope they can hear us. Can you hear us?
Yes, caller, I can hear you, Nunu. How you doing, Nunu?
I can hear your music.
Yeah, your music's kind of cracky there, but you still can hear it, though.
Okay. Thank you for letting me know. We've got to figure out something because you either cannot hear it at all or it's crackling. It's just nuts.
You know what it sounds like?
Well, anyway.
Like the speakers are bad. That's what it sounds like. Like when your speakers feel bad.
Which would think that the music was up too high. But the thing is that if it's any lower, you can't hear it. And I'm not in the red. Our studio music's not in the red, so we've got to figure out something. We'll figure out something. We'll mess with some of the next songs and see what people think. But who's this?
This is Serena. I was wondering, just need a general reading, what's going on. There's some drama that just recently happened.
Do you have an actual question, Serena? Like an actual real question, something that you're really, really looking for?
Right. Something just happened recently in, Friday, and I was really concerned about it.
Okay. So let's kind of see how things are going to happen from, your Friday event. And what I need you to do, dear, is I need you just to kind of relax, okay? Take some nice, good, deep breaths, but just relax. Just relax, and bear with me just a moment. Okay, when I go backwards to Friday. Today's Tuesday, Monday, Sunday, Saturday, Friday. Okay, now it actually looks like something happened before then, but that's okay. Basically, it looks like there was a split off. And it's there's two people standing together. There's two entities, a male and female, and there's a split off from the male. So what happened?
I was in an automobile accident, and I kind of wonder if the girl has insurance, because when her boyfriend came to the scene, he was very rude, and also the cops were, too. She was coming down a one-way street when she hit me.
Okay. Now, let me tell you something, okay? The male, the man, the male figure is the figure here that looks like this is a person that you may really have to contend with. So do you know if this was his vehicle?
I have no clue. I don't know. Now, my brother, the male that he's probably picking up too, my brother came to the scene too and was standing there. He's the one who went and found this, because the cops tried to say that it was a two-way street. And we found signs from like three streets down, because it was on a regular street. It wasn't like on a highway or anything. And we found all the signs saying one way. So she came down a one way, and she didn't even stop. She just like went right through, and I was at a stop sign, and I continued to go, and it's when she hit me.
Okay. All right, so when we move you forward, basically, It kind of looks like she may not have had insurance, or it kind of looks like it may have lapsed, because right now we're sitting in a position of broken contracts. It does look like she will have some sort of insurance soon, though, but it doesn't seem like it matters for you right now because of when it happened. So basically it looks like you're going to be proceeding forward with some sort of a kind of an awkward situation, like it may have lapsed, okay? Now, but this is the deal. When I kind of bump you up, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 steps, which could be 8 days. We're just going to say that there's going to be 8 steps to what looks like there is some positive financial stuff coming to you. There is. I see some real positive stuff. So it looks like whether or not they're just, you know, they're giving you the money or there's something that's happening that it looks like you're going to be all right. But like I said, it looks like it's an 8 steps. It doesn't look like you're going to be dealing with this forever. It looks like this is something that you're probably just going to be dealing with for like maybe a month and a half, maybe, okay? But from what I can see, looks like things are going to be okay, but I really am kind of concerned because from what I'm seeing here, like based upon your real question, it looks like she may not be insured or she wasn't at the time. But it looks like I said, the guy, there's a guy here, and the reason I feel like it's her boyfriend is because he's the king of coins. It looks like there's something that he didn't do, and that might be why he was also freaking out, okay?
Okay.
So there you go. But it does look like things are going to be okay. We just have to get up here to, you know, just like, we'll see what happens around the 13th or so. The 13th is, that's on a Thursday. So sometime next week, the end of next week, we'll see what they've come up with for you. Okay?
Okay. All right, I appreciate it.
Let us know how you're doing, Serena. All right?
I will. Thank
okay.
you very much.
All right, sweetheart. Good luck.
You have a nice day. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye. Thanks for listening. Let's take this caller at 214 as well. 214, this is Broken Earth Radio. How can we help you?
Hi there. How are you?
Good.
Hello.
Hi. Well, I wanted to find out what was coming up for me in terms of, like, finances changing or job.
So you're looking for a new job.
Yeah, it seems like I've been trying for the last 2 or more years, and just nothing seems to be happening.
What kind of work are you exploring?
I've kept myself open, so that way
okay.
I'm not too focused on one thing.
Okay, so you're doing everything that you should be doing. You're open. You're completely open. Let me look at your cycles. That's probably going to help you more than anything, okay? And in that, we're also going to look to see, you know, when you're going to see some changes. But your cycles are really helpful because it shows us not only what's been happening, but why things have been happening in that sort of way, okay? But hold on just a minute. Also, real quickly, what do we call you? What's your name?
Tren.
Tren? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yay.
There we go. There's something coming at you. If from what I'm seeing here, this might be around November, okay? And it's, you know, honestly, I'm trying to also see what it is that you'll be doing, and what I'm being told is that it looks like you're just kind of like it just kind of seems like you're working for this entity that's represented with a man. It's like either a man or a company, you know. It's just, it doesn't look like it's anything really different from what you're doing. It just looks like it's just a different place. But the thing is, this place offers you more momentum and it offers you more money.
Mm-hmm.
So it means basically it offers you room to grow and it offers you some, you know, more money, okay? But I do see you getting out of there. And when I go backwards, because I want to just kind of see what's been going on with you, I mean, it's you know, you've had some things going on. You've had some things going on in your personal life. You know, you've had some random things happening, but it really doesn't look like it's distracted you from change. It's just, I just really see that it's just things that just, they're just kind of sitting still. And I think it might be where you live. You think that's the case?
Yeah.
Where you live, things are just kind of like slow.
But
I do see some change.
Okay. It's just been very frustrating because it just seemed like everything I've tried will either seem like it's almost going to happen, then it goes away. And I can't seem to make ends meet at all or even make any kind of momentum to get out of where I'm staying. It's very unhealthy where I'm staying. And I'm just sick and tired of it.
Okay. Let me, I want you to stay positive, and I want you to stay focused, and I don't want you to feel like everything is just piled up on your back, okay? So this Saturday is actually the new moon, so why don't you get yourself some green candles, just try to manifest, just keeping yourself open like you are, try to manifest some positive finance coming in your way, some things that you haven't actually worked for. Just hoping some things just kind of drop in your lap. It happens to people all the time, so why shouldn't it happen for you, right? So, but like I said, get your green candles going, and just pray or meditate, whatever it is that you need. Put it out there on the table and just say, you know, keep your money, keep your numbers realistic. Like, you don't want to sit there and meditate for $100 million, because it has to come from someplace, you know. If it would help you to have, like, $1,000 extra this month, that's easy. I mean, it's not easy, but I'm just saying that it's easy for it to come from someplace, like luck, you know. So, you know, keep your head in the right place, because I'm telling you, I do see change coming for you. I'm just seeing that it's just a little bit further off. It's like you're in a line. You're in a line, and now it's your turn. Okay, so it's going to be okay there. All right, Trent?
Okay. All right. Well, thank you.
No problem. And thank you for listening, sweetheart, okay?
Okay. Thanks. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
That's for yourself. Bye.
Bye.
All right. We are going to take another call here. We are going to take a call in a moment.
Well, I'm just kidding.
I know you're just kidding. But we're going to take a call from 561 in a little bit, in just like probably maybe 5 minutes, 7 minutes or so.
Six
and a half minutes. And then we're after that, and we do have some people, and we see you here. But we're also going to be talking about chemtrails. But why don't, before we get into the chemtrails, why don't we talk about our other topic.
Oh, well, you see, I know we need to do a couple of calls, because when we get into chemtrails, which we discussed, there's a clip that's about 15 minutes long, so. excuse me, sorry. The Star Child Skull. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, let's talk about the Star Child Skull.
Okay, well, I have mentioned this before. I'm not going to go into a huge amount of detail, but the Star Child Skull, Star Child, it's not Star Child really, it actually should be called Star Adult. Anyway, Star Child Skull, it's a 900-year-old skull, which was found in Mexico in the 1930s. And it was, I believe, have I got this right? It was found next to a woman. Anyway. The Star Child Project is an informal organization which began in 1999 when Ray and Melanie Young, the owners of the Star Child School, asked Lloyd Pye to head research efforts to determine what caused the unusual shape and properties of the bone. The results uncovered by the research team ruled out all known deformities and presented the scientific community with a genetic and physical profile never before seen on Earth. Now new DNA findings indicate the Star Child skull may well be an alien. Now all that remains is to determine whether alien means foreign to normal human genetics within the framework of that subject that is currently understood, or definitely not from planet Earth or something in between. Now, this skull, first of all, Lloyd Pye, who was entrusted to look into this. He's been doing lectures for years now. There's a book which I need to pick up, which is Everything You Know Is Wrong. And there's also lectures as well from like late 90s where he's talking about evolution and the jump from, you know, Neanderthals to humans, and basically saying that there's some sort of intervention somewhere where we were genetically altered, and perhaps we're not actually evolved from some of these early primates creatures at all. So you can check that out on YouTube. Everything You Know Is Wrong. It's extremely interesting.
Huh.
The Star Child Skull, if you want to put it into Google, it will bring up pictures there. I recently watched a couple of days ago another interview with him, an update on it. Trying to get these DNA results and tests and everything costs a lot of money. The last one costs thousands and thousands of pounds, and I think the next stage he wants to go to, it costs something like $3 million to do the tests on it. Yeah, it's crazy. But the skull, from the test they did, it looks like it could possibly be some sort of hybrid, that possibly the mother was human, but they couldn't find the other half of the match, didn't match to anything else on the Earth. Its skull is stronger, about three times stronger than the human skull, but it's actually lighter. And it's also got, I think, the average human being has got like 1,400 cubic centimeters of brain capacity.
Hmm.
And this one's got a third more than that. And they've ruled out deformities, you know, like swelling of the brain and things like that, because that means, you know, in some cases, I can't remember the name of the deformities, but some of them where the head actually expands through pressure and that, it wouldn't actually, the bone plates wouldn't be able to fuse together, but this is, it's more like an adult. Now, also, what's coming to the conversation with this is the banding of heads, you know, where the Incas or some of the Aztecs, where they bound the child's heads to make them more elongated. People thought this was done with this because it's flat on the back of its head.
Mm.
Think about it, used a board to band it, you know, to squash it.
Right.
But the way it is and the area it would have suffocated this child, if that was the case.
Right.
There's also skulls as well, which is, what's his name? His name's Brian Forster, who has got research about other elongated schools. If you have a look for him, the website is hiddeninkatours.com. You can find information about Brian Forster there. His actual name is spelled BrianFoerster. So it's Brian Forster. But these schools don't look like they've been bound anyway, because see, when you bind a school, it's all well saying that, you know, well, fair enough, you know, this is what caused the elongation of mm-hmm. the schools, from binding the child's head from a young age to make it this shape, which I think they did to imitate gods, which could have also been aliens as well. But the problem you got is it doesn't increase brain capacity. And some of these have got, like, there's one, like I said, the average was 1,400 cubic centimeters for a human, but there's one now which is something like 2,600 cubic centimeters. And the binding of the heads doesn't create extra brain capacity. Mm. It's like extra. So that kind of rules that out. But I wanted to bring this to light because I think if anybody's interested in, you know, aliens, I don't always like using that word, but I think this is one of the best pieces of evidence out there for confirming that there was, or maybe is, something else out there apart from humans.
Right.
I said it was not from that, about 900 years old. So like I said, it could have been around that time when this being was just then. It might not necessarily be around still now. It might be some sort of... Anyway. But with these DNA tests and that, it's just, let's say it's come back and it's been confirmed that somewhere there's parts of it which are not human. And I think it's, oh my God, it's partially human. It shouldn't be clear. Maybe the mother was human and the father was something else altogether. But you can check all the details out for yourself with Star Child Project. Or enter Google, it brings all the information you'll need there, scientific information. And a lot of scientists don't want to deal with this, you know, because it could, well, I guess they're afraid of it ruining their reputation and it destroying all any previous work they've done
right.
in the past.
Right.
And just changing their beliefs completely. But I think this is probably one of the best scientific pieces of evidence of possibly, you know, like I said, it's just difficult to find the word alien, non-human beings. And it's really worth a look into. Even if you know you're unsure, it's worth checking out the facts and looking into it because they do add up and it is good evidence, as long as you take the time to believe it. Some people can be given all these facts and this evidence and say, look, it's not entirely human or not human at all, and they still choose not to believe it, which I understand some people don't want to know.
Right.
But it is worth a check out if you're interested in that and you've not heard about these things before. So, there you go. And also checking out the elongated skulls as well. Because they are just weird. I mean, I was looking at seeing some pictures of them the other day, and even the jawbones on them seem huge. I can't believe how big the jawbones are. It's just weird. But a lot of them's been found in Peru, I think. So, yeah, that's what I wanted to touch on there. I'm sure there's probably information I've forgotten there, which I might bring up a bit later if it pops back in, but all the information is there on the internet for you to check out. It is worth the time and the effort listening to it, even if you necessarily don't believe in these. And, you know, you can come to a conclusion yourself, but it is difficult to disprove through scientific facts because they're all laid out and checked into there for you. So, there you go.
All right. DNA tests, I think, are pretty cool. You can, there's different types of DNA tests, but there's some, my sister had a DNA test done on our family just for the heck of it. And but there's different kinds of DNA tests. But if you ever look at yourself in the mirror and you wonder, you know, why do I look like I do, or why does my skin fall on my bones in a certain way, you know, they do have certain DNA tests that actually tell you what you are. I mean, I don't mean just what you are, like who you're related to, but like what predominantly makes up what you are. And one of the reasons that, you know, we always joke around about it is because our DNA is Asian. And we always it's Asian. It's haplogroup C. They have different haplogroups that they divide people up in. And, you know, with you know, Native Americans are very related to Asians, and we always kind of joke around about it, but our DNA is Asian. I mean, like, if you laid our DNA out, we would just look like we were Asian. So that was it's expensive to have it done, but you know, it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool just to see, you know, where, you know, people, why you look like you look. Or, but I remember my first midwife was giving me my pelvic exam, and she never talked to me about what I am, but she said, I can tell from your pelvis and your bone structure what you are. And I was like, well, okay, what am I? And I figured that she would say something like Hawaiian or whatever. And she said that I was an Eskimo, that I'm an Inuit.
Right.
And I thought that's not. It's because I'm shaped like an igloo. No, but because I drink whale milk, whale buffalo, and whale, what?
So you drink loads of vodka?
What?
That was a question. It was a statement.
No, it's because of my...
All right.
I was like, where is that even coming from? Anyway, so it's an interesting thing.
Well, the one more thing I've remembered is the differences between human... I think it's chromosomes or something. God damn it. Forgotten some of it. I just got to remember so much information. It pushes something out, you know what I mean? Anyway, saying about the differences between, you know, humans and other animals and Star Child Skull, and there's something like 23 difference. What was it? Maybe. Anyway, they did a chart or something, and the mouse is like 23 something or other difference to human, and the Star Child Skull is 56 something away from, you know, so it's more.
It's not human.
Well, exactly. Yeah, it's we're more like a mouse than we are of this Star Child.
Interesting.
Well, as far as I know, but they have done artist impressions of it, which is interesting. And some people have tried to say, well, it's something called progeria, where it's a quick aging disease, where these kids get it and can create this kind of features.
Right.
But the problem is they have really brittle bones. And this is, like I said, a lot stronger. So it kind of rules it out. But it's got all the different diseases there. And like I said, all the information's there. And the DNA tests, it is worth a check out. Mm-hmm. Certainly is. So now we're going to be talking about the chemtrails, but I presume you're going to take some more calls.
Yeah, because we have a whole line of people. We have a lot of people. So we're going to try to get to everybody, but we do have, you know, the regular show to do. So let's take the caller from 561 and see how we can help. 561 today. Hi, it's Broken Earth Radio. How can we help you?
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
I was calling to see what do you see coming up for me with my career, please?
Okay, are you looking for a job change, or are you just wanting to see if there's going to be a promotion? We just want to kind of keep it, you know, since it's a sample reading.
I'm looking
reading,
for
we
a job, period.
Quick.
Just a job.
Okay,
my
all
job
right.
just ended,
okay.
so.
Okay, what's your name, or what do you go by?
Stacy.
Stacy, okay. Hold on just a moment, Stacy. Stacy is looking for a job. contract work by chance?
No.
Okay. There's the reason I'm saying this is because there's what you're coming into is a period that is actually it's a period about contracts. Okay, it's about contracts. It's about commitments. If we want to spin this in a different way, in your quest, because when I'm kind of looking out here, I do see you finding something, but it also looks like a little bit later there's something else going on. And then a little bit later, there's something else going on, which would kind of align itself with contracts. However, if you're looking for a place to really be committed to because you want to make sure that they're giving you what you deserve, like they're paying mm-hmm. you right or they're treating you well, that sort of thing, I do see something coming up. It's just one step away, which is basically saying, like, next month, okay? There is something happening It looks like it's around like the third week of July. That's just kind of to give you a time frame to focus on. The thing is, though, looks like you land this job, but then August, September, October time, it looks like you might mm-hmm. be looking at something else. Okay, so like I said, if this is not about actual contracts, this looks like, you know, you could be looking at, well, I don't know if this place really is doing enough for me, so I want to think about something else. You know, and another way that we could spin this, dear, is that you're looking for, you're going to take something until you find something that really suits you better. You see what I mean?
But yeah, I see what you mean.
I do see work coming in, like I said, the middle of July, but then it looks like a little bit later you're looking at something else. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Well, Stacey, thank you so much for listening, and good luck on your quest, and let us know when you find something, okay?
Sure. Thank you.
All right, dear.
Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Also, for anybody that is wondering, we do have a website. If you go to the banner page or the banner portion of the page of the radio show, there is a link that you... There is a link that you can click. We also have Facebook. It's Broken Earth Radio Show. You can also look me up on Facebook as well. But there's plenty of ways to contact us. If you want to get in touch with Bill and just kind of want to write him something directly, I mean, you can write him on this stuff too. He just doesn't always check it. So you can write him at Bill Doyle. That's D. O-Y-L-E at live.com. That's an email address, BillDoyle@live.com, and you can send the letter directly into his brain. So.
Your mind pigeons.
We are going to have the portion of the show that, you know, a lot of people have been waiting for, the chemtrail thing. You want to introduce it? Real quickly?
Yeah, I know this is probably going to take about 20 minutes of the show up, so I won't take too long talking about it, and we'll in a few minutes we'll get into this, but chemtrails, imagine a lot of people may have heard what chemtrails are. If not, I'll briefly run over, because there's plenty of information on the internet for you to check it out. But there's aeroplanes flying through the sky, sounds like I'm making a song, but they leave a trail behind them, which are normally known as contrails, which can last, you know, a few seconds up to a few minutes. But then you get these trails around the planes that last all day, hours on end, and then it makes a mess of the sky, and they crisscross and all over the place, and they develop into a haze, which I find is really uncomfortable to sit under sometimes when this haze, when they eventually spread out and create this haze. Now, they shouldn't really be hanging around all day. I mean, I thought about this, and I thought, well, you know, maybe it just depends on the conditions and the altitude of these planes that could make these hanging around all day, but the same clouds in the sky don't hang around all day. You see a cloud going by, it doesn't hang around or spread out. And you know what I mean? It doesn't act the way that these so-called contrails, in inverted commas, do, because they shouldn't be hanging around all day and doing what they're doing, because I know for a fact that when I was younger, I used to get so many clear blue skies, and you wouldn't get any of this. What's changed to now to create this mess? Because, I mean, visually, for starters, it just makes it look horrible. Just, it makes a mess of the sky. It's like someone scribbled all over the sky.
Right.
And there's a lot of strange clouds appearing over the past few years, deformed clouds that really don't look natural at all. So something's going on. Geoengineering, probably. There is information out there on websites where people admit that they're doing geoengineering. And there's also patents or patents online for the use of this spraying chemicals from planes, which is what is believed to be these chemtrails, which contain stuff like aluminium or aluminum, barium, and something with an S. Strontium, I think, is the other thing. If you want to check out what in the world are they spraying, that's a documentary which covers it from a scientific view, and it shows you like the pH of the soil and everything's changing. There's too much aluminium in the soil, and it's destroying the plants, and the plants are dying, which is strange because Monsanto just created a gene which makes plants that they grow resistant to aluminium, which is increasing. And in some cases, believe this is being sprayed in the atmosphere to reflect dangerous rays back out of the atmosphere. But also, there's also the side effects of something where you need to investigate something called Morgellons, which is a side effect of what they are possibly spraying.
Yeah,
there's actually somebody famous who got it recently. Was he a basketball player or something?
Oh, really? They got that?
I'm sure, something like that, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's like fibers start growing out of the skin. It's like weird, different colored fibers, like blue and red.
That's the last thing I need inserted into my mind today, is that I'm going to start growing blue and red fibers out of myself.
Well, what I know is that something's changed from when I was a kid to now, that these trails are hanging around all day, and I actually saw a picture. You know when you see the plane flying around, I sometimes zoom in with my camera just to test it out, zooming in and out, and it actually showed, because the contrails come from the engines. But I saw a picture today where it showed that these trails are coming from the wingtips, not out of the engines. And also, you see that it comes on and off. If you see a plane go over, sometimes it will like sputter, and they'll come on and go off. And surely that wouldn't be water vapor coming from the engines, because the engines are cutting out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, anyway, go out and check into chemtrails. There are people out there who already know about it, people who won't believe it. But this, I got permission, thankfully, from Truckers for Truth, the founder of Truckers for Truth, Steve, actually gave me personal access of the audio from this video, which is on YouTube, from somebody called Kristen Megan, who actually worked for the military. We'll play that now. It's about 15 minutes long, where she talks about these materials and chemtrails. She worked in the military for a long time, and it's coming from, you know, somebody with a substantial record, and they got out of the military because of all the shady things that were starting to go on. So we'll play that now, sit back and listen to it. It is interesting and important, and it's coming from straight from the horse's mouth.
Everybody. Because we are a little bit behind schedule, I'm going to go ahead and start. Let me just get this set up. So for those of you who may already know me, you know me as Kristen Megan, the loudmouth liberty enforcer. I am a contributor for Infowars.com, the Next News Network, and a bunch of alternative media sites. I want to tell you a little story. story about my previous identity. In my previous identity, I'm known as Sergeant Kristen Edwards. 2001, I didn't really know what I wanted to do with my life. And in 2001, I figured, you know what, I heard about a bunch of my friends going into the military, and it seemed like they could get their college funded and do great things defending this nation. So in 2001, I rose my right hand to the Constitution to defend and uphold. And as ignorant as I was, that Constitution was just a subject in high school history. I hadn't read it. Throughout my career, I was stationed all over the nation, all over the world. I started out in England. My job was in bioenvironmental engineering. For those of you who don't know what that is, if you've ever heard of OSHA, anyone heard of OSHA?
Yeah.
I followed the health side. So my job was to ensure that everything that the Air Force was doing, that we were tracking the exposures for all military personnel as related to what was the Air Force doing, how did it relate to health, and what was the Air Force doing and how did it relate to environmental impact. I spent almost 10 years in the Air Force. I'd love to say it was the best 10 years of my life, but I'll tell you about one day that changed my life. My second base was in Oklahoma City at Tinker Air Force Base, Oklahoma. How many of you have heard about geoengineering or chemtrails?
Yeah.
How many of you have heard it's a crazy loon conspiracy theory? I just want to ask you guys one question. Do I look crazy to you?
No.
Did I talk to any plants or walk up here backwards, or am I wearing a tinfoil hat?
No.
I'm not crazy. Throughout my military career in the Air Force, I was made rank my first time. I had 4 stripes on my shoulder. I had medals like you couldn't believe. I was the exemplary staff sergeant of the United States Air Force. I actually was transferred from one base to another to do a special operation because of my stellar background. When I was at Tinker Air Force Base, Oklahoma, I heard about geoengineering, and I thought, oh, those crazy conspiracy loons. I'm sure we've all heard of Alex Jones from Infowars.com. The man I once thought was a loon wearing a tinfoil hat living in a bunker that I just shunned off as, you know, this guy doesn't get it. Did he strap on the uniform? Has he gone out there and defended his country? Well, it was around 2007 that I first heard about geoengineering. And I started to piece the puzzle together like a spouse who thinks they're husband or wife is cheating, when all the dots start to connect, right? Well, part of my job in bioenvironmental engineering was to approve hazardous materials that came on the base. So whether you were using a simple spray can of paint or you were ordering an oil solvent to degrease airplanes, I sat at a computer and I approved those hazardous materials on base and tied them to a process and a building. Now, there are certain things we all know in the military that are classified, right?
Yep.
So even though I had a security clearance, it says a need-to-know basis. So when I started approving what is called an Air Force Form 3952, the approval of hazardous materials, and I started seeing barium, aluminum oxide, and strontium come on the base from a contractor whose name was not listed, which was not normal. I started to realize that those crazy tinfoil hat-wearing conspiracy theorists might not be so crazy. So in 2008, amongst myself, I lived about less than a mile behind the flight line at Tinker Air Force Base, Oklahoma, in Oklahoma City. And due to my background as an industrial hygienist and an environmental specialist, I conducted soil grid sampling and grain sampling. Those of you who may not be too privy to chemistry, you know that there's natural elements occurring in Earth. Aluminum is one of them. However, barium, radioactive, and strontium are not. So I conducted those samples and saw limits in my community that would make your head spin. And I started to realize that those peers within my professional community that were trying to wake those of us in the military up were right. So right when I decided I was on the fence, should I re-enlist? I was pregnant, just so you know, with my now 9-year-old daughter, Nuggie. You'll see her walking around. And I thought, wow, this is my livelihood. Do I question this? or do I re-enlist and move forward? Amongst my ignorance, I move forward, and I re-enlisted again. I raised my right hand in a constitution which I had not read all the way through. So after Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, I got transferred to 90 miles south of here, Warner Robins Air Force Base. Anyone know where that is? Yeah, it's like the big hub here in Georgia to fund the military. There's a lot of civilians that work there. It's 85% civilianized, 15% military. While I was at Warner Robins Air Force Base, let me remind you, I mentioned earlier, that I got transferred from one base to another due to my professional background. Because I was such a stellar NCO in the Air Force, they transferred me from one depot maintenance base to the other one in the Air Force, Warner Robins. While at Warner Robins Air Force Base, I thought I was defending my country on a home front, making sure that all those people that went out there, front lines, were safe and protected from carcinogens, radiation, inhalation, drinking water, noise, all of it. My job was to protect them so they could be all they can be. In 2009, late 2009, I stumbled upon something that changed my life. I ran across an operation at Warner Robins Air Force Base, which was exposing thousands of civilians to carcinogens. Those of you that are familiar with OSHA, in general industry and construction industry, for different constituents known as hazardous materials, OSHA sets levels for which certain employees can be exposed to. Well, what if I told you that these employees were exposed 100 times over that occupational exposure limit? That's just probably scary. That's an acute and an immediate hazard to carcinogens. People were getting sick. People were getting cancer. People had sores in their mouth from something called strontium chromate or chrome 6, a carcinogenic metal used in military operations. So after what I saw at Tinker Air Force Base, Oklahoma, and then what I saw at Warner Robins Air Force Base, Georgia, everything that I knew, everything that I thought I knew, this great nation, we are heroes. I have 4 stripes on my arm and 11 medals and ribbons on my chest. I thought I was protecting my homeland. When I brought to my commander, to his attention, that there were people exposed to these hazardous pollutants and people were getting sick, I'll give you the synopsis of the story. I took these air samples. I took the swipe samples. These people were actually dumb and ignorant enough to threaten me in writing. My threat was, mind you, I had a perfect history. Not one article of paperwork, not one article 15, not one negative aspect on my record. I was the poster child for what an Air Force NCO should be. I was told that if I told the employees, which is required by law, that they were exposed to these materials, that my commander had the authority to lock me up in a mental institution for up to 120 days without being questioned. At the time, my daughter was 5 years old. I was told, who will take care of your daughter, because I was divorced. I was threatened to be locked up in a mental ward for trying to do my job. I was threatened to have my one child who I love with all my life taken away from me because I tried to do the one thing I was trained to do, protect the workforce. So folks, let me tell you, 2001 is when I entered the military. 4 stripes on my arm, 11 medals and awards on my chest. But it only took one day to change my life. And that day was October 27, 2010, when I left the United States Air Force at almost 10 years, halfway to retirement. I would have been scot free. I left as a whistleblower of the United States Air Force. I had my life threatened. I was followed. My phones were tapped. I had journalists at my front door. I had no job. I left the United States Air Force honorably as a whistleblower. It is because of what happened to me in the Air Force, an avenue in which I thought I was a hero, an American hero, as we all think those in uniform are. When I realized that we are not honest and that the core values that the United States Air Force taught me were completely just talking points, it made me sick to my stomach. After leaving the U.S. Air Force, I worked for the Department of Veterans Affairs. which I figured I would be blacklisted and would never get a job with the U.S. government. Why I worked for the U.S. government, I don't know at this point, but it was easy to get because I was a disabled veteran. Why I was at the Department of Veterans Affairs thinking I could turn things around. You know what I witnessed? How many of you are veterans here?
Right here.
Several of you.
That is.
Let me tell you about a little program that the Department of Veterans Affairs has. When you come in with PTSD, depression, anxiety, drinking problem, substance problem, they put you on psychotropic drugs. They put you on psychotropic drugs in which they get kickback for and profit for from Big Pharma. And then when you get addicted, they put you in a program called DDTC. It's called Drug Demand Treatment Center. So once they get you on these drugs that they profited from, they then put you in a program that they get government grants from to put you in rehab. So those of you who are veterans, I would really rethink your care at the veterans facility. And I know in saying that as a former employee puts a big bullseye on my forehead. But frankly, I don't care. Because let me tell you the difference between 2001 and 2013. I read my Constitution. Front and back.
Yeah.
I read the Declaration of Independence. I read it all. And I stand here admitting to you that I was an ignorant person in the United States military who thought they were a hero. But you know what? My ego, I can tell you, I consider myself a hero or an idol now. Because I put my career on the line as an industrial hygienist who now works in the private sector after leaving the VA. And as a contributor to Infowars.com, to the Next News Network, to different avenues which you can spread your message, I realized that instead of dwelling on all the negatives that really changed my life, I am here to redeem myself. And I ask you that are veterans, or any of you that are civilians, what do you do in your careers? Do you work in the medical profession? Do you work in an airport? Where do you work? And what do you see? Because I guarantee you, if you step back and you connect those dots, you will see things that never made sense to you before. So as I fight the hatred and the disinformation trolls and those who try to ruin my reputation, for every negative thing I find about myself on the internet, excuse my French, but it pisses me off. And you know what? It makes me pull up some more documents that I took before I left the United States Air Force. And I save them, and I publish them, and I send them to my family members throughout the country. And I have friends tell me, be careful. You know what I tell them? Be careful what? I was in the United States military. They have my social security number and my address and my cell phone number. They can find me. So what I want to leave with you here today is to tell you, if you know someone who's in the military now, or you know a veteran, engage them. It's your due diligence. Whether you or not you agree with, quote, conspiracy websites like Infowars.com or Prison Planet, or whether you believe in geoengineering or chemtrails, please believe me because I saw it firsthand, okay? This is not what I want to be known for. It's a huge target on my back. I ask you to ask those veterans in your family or those friends and ask them to rise up, as Robbie Wells says. Do your part. Defend your nation. Join Oath Keepers. Get in touch with all the alternative media outlets. Support the acts, the musicians. You guys, it all matters. I have people tell me, why do you do what you do? There's nothing we can do about it. I know the TSA is unconstitutional, but what can we do about it? Well, let me tell you, I've done things about it, okay? I've shot documentaries. I've done TV shows. I have things in the works I can't even mention so that they don't get edited before they air. You can do something about it. So just remember these numbers. 2001. I thought I was doing good. 4 stripes in my arm, 11 medals on my chest. One day to change my life. What day will be yours? Because trust me, it will come. It will directly affect you, and you will remember this. So please, rise up, do your due diligence, do your own investigations, and support your military by educating them. Thank you.
Tune in to Broken Earth on blogtalkradio.com, 2 p.m. Central Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, and 8 p.m. in the UK.
Broken Earth. Broken Earth. Broken Earth. Broken Earth. We're back, and we're talking to the caller at 858-858. This is Broken Earth Radio. How can we help you?
Hi. I wanted to know, guys, if I have something that's been bothering me for the past, like, 2 months. I got into a big argument with somebody very close to me, and we haven't communicated very well. I wanted to know if that will change ever.
What do you want us to call you?
Oh, my name?
Yeah.
Oh, my name is Abby. Sorry.
Abby, that's okay. Yeah. And Abby, what's this person's name that you're very close to?
His name is Omar.
Omar? Okay. Hold on just a moment. Hold on just a moment. Remember, you just relax. Oh. Hmm. Actually, it does look like you guys are going to start talking again, but I want to tell you something. Omar and you are different. It looks like you guys have some very primary differences. And what I mean by that is, like, raised differently, so to speak, okay? We got to be real careful with your friendship with him, because it seems like whenever you really start to vocalize what you think, he doesn't like it, okay? So just be aware. But, yeah, I do see you guys starting to talk again. Probably, let me think about this. I'm not seeing you have to make it out of this month. I mean, I believe that we're just looking at maybe 2 or 3 weeks, and you guys will start communicating again. But he does seem to be very.
Is he still angry?
He just needs a break. But I'm just kind of concerned about this, because as a healer, I want you in the best relationships possible, friendship, relationships, all that. As a seer, I do see you guys talking again, but I just wonder if he's the kind of person that in the end. I just want you to feel good about yourself. I think that's and I want to stay positive with what I'm saying too. So
yes,
basically,
I
you'll be talking again, but really, really, really think about if this is somebody that you want in your life. Okay.
So it's not me, right? Because I know it's. I mean, it takes two to tango with like anybody, any relationship.
No, it's not you at all. It's not you.
Okay.
It's not you. If the problem is that I'm saying that if you have an opinion that's different than his, then you're wrong. I'm telling you, it seems like it's something that comes from the way he was raised, or just it could also be that he just thinks he's right and everybody else is wrong, you know. But it goes back to such a very, very, very like primary place in life. I see him as an elementary student being told that he's right and everybody else is wrong. You see what I mean? So you're dealing with somebody who just has everything is black and white. It's either right or it's wrong. So
should I just leave him alone then?
I've been trying to contact him, but I was like,
I'm just going to leave it alone until.
Yeah, I mean, I would leave it alone, because somebody like this is not going to talk to you until he's ready. And so just, you know, I would sit back, because I do see you guys talking again. That's the thing. But I'm just, very concerned. Oh, yeah, everything is going to be like, quote, normal, unquote, okay? It's not just conversations on the phone, you know, or whatever. But I really feel like dealing with him is like talking to a wall sometimes.
Yes.
Because I know there has to be something special about him for you to even care, you know? But it's like he's very, 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 very obstinate. Okay. I hope that helps.
Yes. And I just want, does he still care about me as a friend, as a person? That's all I want to know. That's one thing last.
Let me put it this way without it, because I don't want to go negative. I don't see that he doesn't care, but I'm just telling you that it's more about him than you. You see what I mean? So it's like if you want to know him, if you want to be his friend, all that, I mean, that's fine. That's not a problem, but you just can't have. You just can't have, you know, different opinions. You just can't
have
different ideas and talk to him about it, because he's, you know, he immediately thinks that you're just dumb, you know, and that's what you're dealing with.
Okay.
I hope that helps.
I understand.
Like I said,
no, I understand.
I completely
understand.
Yeah. Yeah.
I completely understand now. Okay. Thank you so much.
All right.
God bless.
Well, thank you, Abby. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rico.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Let's take this caller at 720 real quickly, and then we'll, you know, close the show out right.
Hi, I'm Francine from Colorado, and I'm just wondering when I'm going to sell my property for full price and if you see anything medically with me.
Okay, one question. What's more important right now to you?
I guess the house. The
I mean, I know health is important to you too, and the stress will probably, you know, relieving some stress will probably help it out as well. Hold on just a moment.
Okay. And we don't live in the property, just to let you know.
I see people looking at it, and then, you know, it's like the people do look at it. Here we go. Here's another one. There we go. You sell it. There we go. Now, breaks and returns, in spite of being a screener, breaks and returns, looking. Okay, so I think we only need to really focus on the time between now and, like, next, just a time frame. Like now and next spring. So I do see, basically, this is the deal. There's people that have been coming by looking at it. And then when we move you up to this, you know, like next month, the period of time between, because I divide time up between summer and summer, basically. So basically, you're still going to be dealing with this thing where people are coming and going. And it's like the same, there's somebody that wants this property, but their money isn't right, or there's something that's not, you know, that's not matched up. And I finally see them having the money for it, and then it kind of seems like there's another group that's looking at it at the same time, but finally it's sold. And after all this is said and done, from what I can tell, I believe we're looking at let me see. This is July, August, September, October, November, December. Maybe around December, January time.
Hmm.
That's where it looks like it is. But it does. Now, if it could be a little bit further off. But it just seems like there's this point right here where it's, you know, everything starts happening really quickly around that point right there. But like I said, there's going to be someone that's coming to see it, that's been coming to look at it. Like, even if they're just driving and they keep seeing it and they really want it, you know. But it does look like it'll happen. And the rough period of time or rough estimate looks like it's around December, January. Okay?
Mm. Okay. Thank you.
All right. No problem. Good luck.
So that was certainly an interesting audio extract of the video. You can check out the video on YouTube. I mean, you know, it's just, I mean, what can you say? She's been threatened because she knows that chemtrails are real, and she's seen the evidence of that. I mean, anyway, check out the documentary Why on Earth. No, sorry. What in the World Are They Spraying? And there's actually a follow-up that's come out recently, which I've only watched about half of, which is called Why in the World Are They Spraying? It's worth checking out there. So, there you go. Do we get to play my song?
Yeah, that's
how
come I said we want to close it up properly. I wasn't trying to not play it till the very, very end, but, you know, it just...
Well, you worked out.
Yeah.
So over the next, sometime in the near future, probably not next week or something, because we need to collate our information together. I know we were hoping to do a show about alien implants and stuff, which obviously I wasn't sure about doing because...
Well, we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it. we'll talk about it. One of the things I also want to talk about in one of our upcoming shows is about science fiction authors and how that a lot of them have kind of turned into more like prophets, science fiction prophets,
right,
or science faction prophets, so to speak. Right, exactly. And I was looking at and reading up about Mary Shelley again, just for the heck of it. That's why I was thinking about it. But see, you know, some people with what they were saying, it depends on what you read or whatever, but, you know, what they were saying, you know, like they really feel like, oh, my goodness, she was so ahead of times. But she actually wrote Frankenstein or, you know, the Dr. Frankenstein or, you know, Frankenstein's monster, rather. It was actually inspired by some of the experiments that were being done at the time on reanimation. So it wasn't like she just, you know, thought of it.
Well, I've seen some weird stuff. There's been videos of people messing around with dogs.
Reanimating things? Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, like a severed head and bringing it back to life, and it's like moving it and actually putting another dog's head onto another dog. So it's got like two heads and they're both alive. And it's it was many years ago. It was black and white footage, but it's just messed up.
Right. So, you know, just things like that. Well, I mean, you know, people, we all have this eternal quest to live forever, you know, and you know, the fascination.
Two heads and a dog is giving me immortal.
Well, you know, it's a process. It's not just about that. But, of course, people are going to think about, what if we did this and this, you know, but it's still about the process of discovery, period, you know.
My dog can fetch two sticks.
But anyway, so, you know, some people, if you give them power, they just lose their minds. You realize that, though.
Right.
And also, we were talking about this last week, you know, about, you know, working on some really in-depth, you know, just helping people out with, if anybody has any problem out there with forgiveness, if anybody is just blocked, like just so blocked, and you would like to talk about it and discuss it and also go through a process of forgiveness where we can work on it together for other people to hear because it could be very helpful. I'd like to dedicate a portion of an episode to something like that. So, you know, just drop us a note and say, you know, just talk to us about what's going on so we can talk beforehand and just sort of, you know, work through your process with you. Now, remember, this is something that is it's not just about it's about forgiveness. It's not about anything but that. So that's just the way I'm going to leave it. But, you know, like I said, you can get in touch with us. You know, we put the link in the chat room for the website. We've also, you know, if we have on, let's see, on the banner page, we have our, you know, links where you can reach us in many, many different ways. Broken Earth Radio Show on Facebook. If you want to get in touch with Bill and just, you know, just where you can just kind of write it out and just shoot him a mail, it's BillDoyle@live.com. That's BillDoyle@live.com. And we're here every Tuesday, 2 p.m. Central, 3 p.m. Eastern, and 8 p.m. UK. And before, you know, we close out, is there something that you wanted to add?
Just thanks to everybody who's been listening. So if you've got any interesting stories, any paranormal stories, anything interesting you want me to read out on the show, then drop me an email if it's something you don't want to phone up yourselves, or anything you want me to share with the people on the show, then please do that. But like I said, thanks for listening in, and we do this because it's important to get the information out there. We're trying to do our bit, and we don't make any money. We make a loss from doing this show. It's all about you and opening up the truth of the world to everybody. But we appreciate you sticking by us, and thanks for listening. We get to play my song at the end of the show. This is John Davis. It's called Final Days. It's actually the lead singer of Korn when he did some solo stuff. And it's pretty awesome. So check it out. And we'll be seeing you same time next week.
Yeah, I might do sometime this week, too, just so you'll know, a late night show. So just be watching for it. Add us or whatever to your Blog Talk Radio thing so that you can get the message if it's going to be coming on. Lillian, hit me a thing on Facebook. On Facebook would probably be easier so we can work out a time for a reading. And if you want to come over or something like that, you can. Or just whatever. But, you know, if you want to do it on the phone, we can. If you have time to come over, you can as well. It would be nice to see you too. But anyway, that's it. Thanks a whole lot, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Oh, man, what's the name of that song, Final Day?
Come on, we're running out of time.
I know we are. It's like I'm doing it on purpose, but I'm not.
Where